Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan, and Terry McLaurin is on the show in 1 hour. They targeted Terry McLaurin 13 times, and they won. I don't think those two things are coincidences. He doesn't score many touchdowns. Took a couple of long balls, but he scored twice. By the way, dime from Heinicke on the first touchdown along the sideline downfield. That was a beautiful pass. The second one was like a YOLO kind of crazy broken play.
Yeah, Terry's on my team. Go get it.
But that's exactly what you should do. That's a free play. They jumped off sides.
Uh-huh.
We haven't around these parts had that guy that's willing to just do that for whatever reason. Like, to me, if you're sure a guy's off sides and the flag comes out, you need to be really confident it's not a false start. But normally they blow the play dead.
They blow the play dead.
If you're sure you have a free play, to throw the ball fewer than 5 yards is such a waste and inexcusable. You should be chucking that ball a million miles downfield and hoping for a pass interference. Give me another flag. Mm-hmm. Give me yard. I throw a pick. Who cares? So he did exactly what he should have done, and McLaurin was just better than everyone around him.
100%. You saw, for Heinicke real quick, you saw all the reasons to love that guy this past Sunday. You did. You saw all the moxie, the playmaking, the running around. Wasn't hit all that often. I thought the line did a good job. I thought he did a good job. You saw him adjusting some protections here and there, making some plays with his feet that throw to McKissick. You touched on a couple things to McLaurin. You also saw where he didn't have it. You also saw where he's limited. I will not be able to get that throw. Also to McLaurin, by the way, deep down the field where it wasn't his first read, where he kind of moved to the left. McLaurin's open now. Still open. Still open. Still open. Still open. So late. And then he throws that Todd Collins, Jamie Moyer changeup, and it takes 9 million hours to get there, and the defender almost intercepts it. And I go, yeah, that's the difference, right, between a dude that could really do this, that's like your franchise guy, you never have to question it, and this. But you saw the entire package. But how do you not root for that guy and end up loving him?
So we talked about this a couple weeks ago, actually, after the win over the Giants, I think it was. The notion that at some point, it will be time to start grading him just like you grade the really good quarterbacks. And I wasn't ready to do that yet. Maybe we're there, honestly. As far as having the discussion, could he be the quarterback next year? Could he be the quarterback moving forward? Does he have a chance to be the answer in the future? Whenever we're ready to start asking that question, we need to start actually looking at every play and dissecting the performance the same way you would dissect had they have traded for Deshaun Watson, or when you're watching Rodgers, or when you're watching Derek Carr, or any of these entrenched starters around the league. Because there are still a plethora of those plays that are frustrating. You mentioned one of them. The early throw behind Terry McLaurin on the opening drive. I mean, his first couple passes to McLaurin were incomplete. One sailed when he was wide open on like a corner route to the sideline downfield, and they had to punt. And Heinicke was furious with himself because he missed the chance. I mean, McLaurin could have had a buck 75 in this game easily.
Easily.
He was just running open on carpet. So whenever we want to start looking ahead to, is he the guy? Should he be the guy? Then we need to grade him harder. I'm still kind of in the mode of, though, is he worthy of kind of being in the mix here? Should he start over Fitzpatrick? And I'm grading on a curve in that regard. And my answer is, when Fitz is back, this guy stays on the field.
100% for me.
And he's playing at a level that allows you to win. They've had three games since he took over as the starter, and they've netted 400 yards in two of them, and they've scored over 30 points in two of them. Now, they got a kick return for a touchdown to get there in this game, which he doesn't get credit for. But even without that, you're talking about, what, around 28 points or whatever it was?
So I hammered this a lot about the defense last year. For people that are now saying, in revision, saying, they actually weren't even good last year. And I made this point with Denver's defense this year. You've got to be above a certain threshold to take advantage of bad. Because what happens a lot of times is, I remember this game a couple years ago when before Tampa got good, their defense was the worst in the sport, and Washington managed like 13 points, and it was like one of the ugliest wins ever, and everyone came in the next day like, I guess I'm glad they won, but oh my God. Like, it was horrendous, if you remember that game. Their offense wasn't good enough to take advantage of a crappy defense. This offense with Taylor Heinicke now can actually take advantage of crappy defenses.
That was a Fitz-led Bucs team that gained 500 yards in that game.
Against Washington?
Yeah.
And it was like a low-scoring, awkward,
yeah, it was
dumb
like
game, wasn't it?
13-10 or something. If you remember,
yeah,
they turned the ball over four or five times. Ryan Anderson had an unbelievable play in that game where he like had a punch fumble that like bumbled all the way down the field, and they recovered it right near the goal line.
Good pull on that.
But anyway, 500-yard game defensively, but it, yeah, you know, they didn't score points.
And so this is my point. Last year, their dumb offense, which I hated so much, probably couldn't do what they did through two of the four games this year. They've played two bad defenses, and they've moved the football. They've gotten first downs. They've scored points against them. That's because of Heinicke. This is the positive change here. I'm all for it.
There's another big story in Ashburn today. If you just heard Ron Rivera's press conference, he covered this. But this is breaking news from us here at The Fan. J.P. Finley, myself, and some help from Julie Carey of NBC as well, put this story right around 1:45 today. Federal law enforcement, including the DEA, conducted a raid at the Washington football team's headquarters in Ashburn on Friday. We've since learned they also raided the home of head trainer Ryan Vermilion right at One Loudon in Ashburn as well. The team has placed head trainer Ryan Vermilion on administrative leave. They issued a statement to The Fan in which they said Ryan Vermilion has been placed on admin leave due to an ongoing criminal investigation that is unrelated to the team. This investigation, from what I've learned, has been going on for months. I talked to somebody who was asked questions about the practices of Vermilion within the team dating all the way back. They didn't know the specific time, but they said it was either March or April, like this spring, mm-hmm, when a DEA agent called them. Think about that. So this is something that's been happening for months. Vermilion was not at the game yesterday, which was what rare. That kind of is when your antenna goes up a little bit.
Yeah, you notice when there's multiple injuries. Guys are leaving the field, and wait, that's not the normal guy that's the head athletic trainer.
I had heard this before the game and didn't think much of it. And then when I didn't see him at all, I said, well, let's start trying to figure out what's going on here. So his assistants were handling all those injuries to Logan Thomas and Deami, mm-hmm, Brown, Brandon Sheriff, among others. And we've had sources since, as I mentioned, say that the raid of his house took place Friday afternoon. Very publicly, there were neighbors around watching and seeing this. But Ron Rivera just shut all questions down about it in his press conference.
They made a statement.
He referred to the statement over and over again. It was a very succinct statement that didn't really say much. Just that he's been placed on leave. There is a criminal investigation, and they're saying it's unrelated to the team. And while I don't want to harp on this today, we're going to go heavy with the game, obviously. This is really important. And if you disagree, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, Ron Rivera has said since he got here, we're not going to focus on all of the debacles of the past and all of the issues culturally. Judge us. This is his quote, not mine. Judge us on how we act moving forward. Well, I got your head trainer who you brought here from Carolina and has been with you since your earliest days with the Panthers and your right-hand man getting dragged out of the building, it sounds like, by the DEA, or dragged out of his house. I don't know where they actually ended up grabbing him at, where they raided the both places, allegedly. The statement from Dan Snyder when they hired RV as head trainer was that he's one of the most respected and seasoned head trainers in the league, and that his familiarity with Rivera made him a perfect fit for the organization. Rivera's comment on Vermilion was, for many years, I've seen firsthand the positive impact that Ryan has on a team. His primary focus has always been the health of the players, and he is going to be a tremendous addition to, and at the time they were the Redskins, he said the Redskins. He said that they're very fortunate to have Ryan Vermilion added to the staff. Remember, too, last year at some point, oddly, like out of nowhere, Inova just kind of parted ways with the team. Uh-huh. Dr. Robin West, who was heavily involved in the Alex Smith recovery, who he swears by and says saved his life, saved his leg. She and that group just kind of said, we're out of here, and we didn't think much of it. But who knows how long this investigation's been going
on. Well, yeah, I mean, it's impossible not to start connecting some of those dots, because I'd forgotten about that myself, and I went, wait a minute, didn't they changed health providers, and who knows what that was about? I mean, you now are forced to ask these kind of questions. And again, the point I keep making about this in general, with somebody who gets the ultimate authority, and that's what Ron Rivera was brought in here to be, you must answer these questions. This is yours. Everyone that works in your employ serves at the pleasure of Ron Rivera. Everyone from the two Martys to the guy that picks up the towels in the locker room. It's your culture. It's yours. Everybody underneath you belongs to you. You are responsible for them. This isn't a Jay Gruden situation where he's like, hey, we drafted a guard and I got to coach him up. That's not that. You drafted. Your personnel decision. Your trainer. You got rid of the old guy. The better guy better be better. Or the new guy better be better. So far, not great returns.
And, you know, I think it's possible. I just want to, not to defend the team in any way, but I want to say it should be noted that it is possible whatever he was doing, you know, people outside, and you don't know what someone's doing when they're not at your facility. Even though Rivera has sworn by this guy and his character and talked about him for years and they're good buddies, I mean, you don't ever really know necessarily when someone leaves, like what they're up to. So I guess that's possible. But I know that one of the players I spoke with, the investigation that was being done and the questions they were asked were about practices within the organization and like with medicating players and things like that.
That matters to me, yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that that is definitively what they found. That could just been a couple of questions in an 8-month interview process with dozens of people. But I'm at least passing along something that I heard from a reputable person. 800-636-1067, you want to hop in on that or on the win, which is what we're covering right now. Let's go to Chris in Chantilly. Chris, who gets your game ball? Who gets your gasser?
Yeah. Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, man.
Good, good. So, game ball, no shocker, Terry McLaurin. And we could talk, the plays have been, you know, talked about over and over again, and they will continue to be because he's an amazing player. But his accountability, you watch his post-game, post-game, not just of Atlanta, but other games too, you always focus on what can I do better? And it's not... And on the defensive side of the ball, which is my gaffer, it's we. Stop worrying about we and focus on yourself. Because you watch Terry, the offense, it was limited in my eyes at least. You know, they're learning, they're growing. Heineke's learning and growing. It's going to take a lot of time. But at least, you know, they're going in a right direction. Obviously, in four games, this is how it's been. If the defense would actually follow Terry McLaurin's leadership and with the leader he's being and staying in his lane, he's a very humble guy, in my opinion, just a class act, then, you know, that can, not saying it will, but it can lead to other players playing better. And obviously, my gasser is the defense, especially the secondary. I'm my first time getting into fantasy football, and you know what? If I picked Washington's opponent every week and put them on my fantasy team,
you're rolling.
I'm absolutely rolling. I told my friend that. He's like, you got a point there. That's a good idea.
I appreciate the call, dude. Thank you so much. That's a good one. And it's not the place you want to be, by the way. You don't want to be the team that you stream against.
So here's my big question on the defense is, what is the problem, really? Like, when you drill down, they do get some pressure. They move quarterbacks occasionally. Guys are just running free all the time. Like, we could harp on, you need more from Sweat and Allen and Payne and Young and Ioannidis. And I understand why and how we do that. Those guys are the first-round picks. That's where you got your $17 million man, John Allen. Like, we're going to focus on that. In the same way we focus on the defense over the offense if both don't play well, because they've spent money, and that's where they're at.
Seven of the nine highest-paid players, five first-round picks. Right, yeah.
They paid William Jackson $14 million. They made him one of the higher-paid corners in the entire league. Do you feel like this is a team with one of the highest-paid corners in the league out there shutting someone down?
I do not.
Has he played through four games like a guy that deserved $14 million?
I think he's been okay. He's probably getting beat up a little bit I don't want to say unfairly, but maybe more, but lots expected of you sign a big deal like that.
This is my point. I mean, he's been fine. I'm not saying he's been bad. I think he had a bad game a couple weeks ago. But that's a lot of money to pay.
Yes, it is.
That was a marquee. That was their biggest free agent acquisition financially. And their secondary is a problem. Last year, they spent $10 million on Kendall Fuller. Since kicking him into the slot, he had a couple PBUs yesterday, which was good. But he's had a struggle, I think. I don't know what they're able to hang their hat on, in other words. I don't know what level of the defense.
Yeah.
The secondary has been a problem. The linebackers have been a problem. We're picking on the defensive line because they're not doing enough. What's their calling card? Like, when you sit down and things aren't going well, you try to have a meeting with to figure this out, heart to heart, and everyone gets together. The first thing you say is, well, what do we do well? Let's start with that. I don't know what the answer to that is, honestly.
I don't either.
I'm not really sure what they do well yet defensively. I don't know if there is a thing.
There isn't anything at the moment. And it's one of those things where if it's not one thing, it's another. The time they do get the pass rush, which again is way more rare than it should be when you have that many first round picks and that many Pro Bowl caliber players, at least allegedly, up there. When they do finally get pressure, it's something else. It's a coverage breakdown. When it is a quick game thing, it's a coverage breakdown. Where's the pass is batted down? Where are the linebackers? I think their linebackers are atrocious. I think Jamin Davis stinks, and I think that's kind of at the core of all this. Them not being any good at all is really dragging everybody else down because I think defense is really about system and scheme and one hand washing the other and everybody working in synchronicity. You're not seeing that by any stretch of the imagination. Nobody's any good, but I think the worst part is the linebackers, and I think that's really changing our eye level here for how bad this defense is.
I think what frustrates me the most is it just kind of takes somebody making a play and it all feels different. Think about how different we would feel if Chase Young destroyed Matt Ryan and there's a sack fumble they recover and scoop up and run the other way on that fourth and two.
Yep.
We're not coming in here killing the defense today. No. We're celebrating Young making the play he hasn't made.
Even though you still had 10 of 16 on third down, even though they moved the football.
But yeah, that play. The conversation.
Yes, it does.
And to that point, I want to give them credit for getting off the field. On the Falcons' final drive, they get the ball back.
Uh-huh.
I think it was a three and out, but the defense stood up. John Allen, Montez Sweat on first down, blew a play up in the backfield. Mm-hmm. They were awesome on that rep. There's just not enough of that. And it's just these little things, that split-second decision by Chase. You got a chance to go hit Matt Ryan. And you're right, it probably is because he's operating nervous because he's been flagged too many times now for roughing or late hits that were ticky-tack. But instead, he just flies by him and throws an elbow. Stupid penalty.
Yeah, it's the last thing I would ever do. Whatever that was, I wouldn't do it.
And I hate the call.
Yeah, I hate the call.
Why did
call.
He do that?
I don't know.
Why not just tackle that person? It's football. You don't even, like, when's the last time you saw a guy run by someone and throw that elbow? I don't know if I've seen that.
I mean, that's like a sitcom version of like a weird thing to do in basketball. You know, where like you're trying to cheap shot somebody. Remember that movie that had Tupac in it that was about like pick up basketball in on the playground and like the guy that was playing dirty did that. Like elbowed someone in the throat. I'd never seen that in a football game. Like, what are you doing? Baffling.
Let's go to LeVar in Germantown. Used to love your show, LeVar. Big fan of you off the edge as well.
The Leap.
Happy Victory Monday, Greg and Dave.
Hey, Bob.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, man. Danny Huey, I know that you want Jamin Davis to show you that flash to let us all know why Washington picked him 19th overall. But man, I got to tell you, I am all good on the Jonathan Bostic experience. And, I mean, it feels like he never has a good angle and he's not a short tackle. So I give him a gasser. Gasser, obviously, to Chase Young. I actually think when he threw that elbow, he was trying to slot the ball with his left hand.
Yeah, so he was actually.
Yeah.
I actually like that part.
Yeah,
that's
a good point.
Yeah, so I mean, that's just in my point. I think it's indicative of the pressure that he's been feeling to make a big splash play, and he just needs to show up a tackle. That's pretty much all it is. And then my game ball goes to DeAndre Carter. Thanks for giving me something to root for. I haven't rooted for special teams on this team since I was 12 years old, and B. Mitch is especially. So,
love it.
You're about my age, it sounds like, and you're right. Normally, they're punting? Okay, let me go run and get my chips real quick.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's a kickoff? Hell of a good needs to be refilled, and I need a Coke Zero.
The other team is punting. Oh, actually, the other team never punts against Washington.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I was saying, what has he had a good punt return yet? Then I remembered that would require the other team to punt sometimes.
Falcons on third down. Let's play a little guessing game. This is for the people listening, Danny, not for you.
Mm-hmm. I want to answer.
They had 16 third down attempted conversions. Did they convert 5, 7, 8, or 10? Were they 5 for 16, which would have been a pretty good day for the defense? Were they 7 for 16? Were they 8 for 16? Or were they somehow 10 for 16? They were 10 for 16.
They were 10.
Every week they give up 10 or more. By the way, 2 third and 13s. They got to 3rd and 13. Might have been 3. They got to 3rd and 13. I'm sitting there watching with my wife and her brother.
Just go out.
And
no.
He said, he goes, oh, no. I said, what? He goes, 3rd and 13.
3rd and long.
He goes, 3rd and 13. We give that up every time. And I realize, I go look back. They've given up 3rd and 13s like 8 times this year. 3rd and 13 are the 3 scariest words in Washington football team football. That doesn't sound dumb. 3 scariest words in this organization right now. Well, it changed today.
There's
it
might 3 be. Letters that are scary.
It might be DEA. That's scary, too. But the 3 scariest words on the field for this organization this week, third and 13. You'd almost just rather, somehow, some way, like a 3rd and 3 or something. He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. 800-636-1067. Observations. 34-30 win. Heineke's a stud. McLaurin, who's on the show with us coming up at 4 o'clock, was great. McKissick saved the day. DeAndre Carter balled with the big return. We didn't even talk about his 24-yard catch, which was nice.
Massive play.
No Logan Thomas moving forward is scary. Rivera has stood by Dustin Hopkins after a couple missed extra points today. And this defense, we said this is the chance. Indoors, Atlanta, old Matt Ryan, offense with just a couple of weapons. I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson had his best game of his career, 10 years into his career. That guy's a kick returner. That's DeAndre Carter, who just went ham sandwich at wide receiver. G&D on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Yeah.
Heinicke's under center. First to goal at the two. In motion, Brown. Hand off Gibson. Tries to navigate the line and pushes his way into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! Eric Flowers leading the way for Gibson.
Antonio Gibson, power back. I want him all getting all touches and carries inside the five. I like when they go McKissick and spread it out and try to surprise you. Gibson, when he lowers his shoulders, it's so funny to think of him as a college wide receiver. That guy is an absolute load. You better bring help. You want to get that kid to the ground.
Just running behind his pads, kind of got a little, you know, that little Alfred Morris style sometimes, right? Where he's going through your contact. You know, he doesn't get stood up like that L. Betts used to. It's interesting, man. I always try to remind myself of that as I'm watching him sort of navigate through sometimes. And I think getting hit a lot has kind of maybe slowed some of his quicks down a little bit, but he's put on some of that muscle and strength, and you could see it.
14 carries, 63 yards in that touchdown for him yesterday. Washington fell behind 10-0 to start the game. A touchdown early, second quarter. Cordell Patterson caught a 42-yard pass from Ryan on a busted coverage. Bobby McCain, after the play, did confirm, and post-game was saying, look, this is on me, this is my fault, I bit on something. But that was a brutal breakdown in coverage. You got this dude running a deep post. He was the deep safety, let him get behind him, and he basically bit on, I don't know if it was Pitts or
who. I thought it was Pitts.
But it was a dig route, shorter. And he just allowed the deep post, and there's nobody. The camera pans to the receiver, Patterson. There's no one else in the picture. So that was a 42-yard touchdown, and at that point, Washington looked to be in some trouble. Quick answer, though, by Heinicke and McLaurin. 7-play, 77-yard drive. McLaurin catches a 33-yard touchdown. We'll ask him about it in 30 minutes here on Grant and Danny. Then you had that touchdown to give Washington the lead 13-0. And at that point, you missed the first of two extra points that were missed. The second came after the Carter 101-yard kick return to take another lead. And back and forth they went. Patterson scores 14 yards to take the lead. Hopkins ends up kicking his only field goal of the day from 21 yards. Basically, an opportunity. Do you punch it in from the goal line or do you just give him a short kick? 14-play, 73-yard drive capped off by a field goal. They cut the deficit to one. Then they allowed the 7-yard pass from Ryan to Mike Davis, and they were down 8. With 3:52 to go, though, they get within 2, and then with 33 seconds left, unbelievable athletic play by J.D. McKissick to get them a 30-yard touchdown and back in front. If you kick the field goal with 33 seconds left there and make it, which is a big if, I would say.
Sure.
40-plus yards for Hopkins on a day where he's missed 2 extra points. But if they do make that field goal, Ryan now has 33 seconds to go get in field goal range. And if you watch the end of the game, they were able to get the ball down in range to take a shot at the end zone.
Absolutely.
Their final snap of the game came from the Washington 37-yard line. That right there is a 55-yard field goal for a win. So they got into field goal range,
Yes. Basically,
if McKissick gets tackled or Heinicke doesn't make that one last play.
So if McKissick gets tackled, but it's still a first down, that actually would have the best-case scenario there for Washington. In my mind, I'm going, I actually hope they rule him out at the one. Right? Because now Washington has the ball. They've got control. You can run the clock down. And even Dustin Hopkins isn't going to miss a 19-yarder to win the thing. Yeah, right? I wanted Washington to end the game with the football. You don't stop right there if you're McKissick. Of course you go for it. You sort of worry about the rest later. You let everybody kind of sort it out as you're trying to advance down the field there. But I almost wish in real time that there was never going to be a chance where Matt Ryan and company had the football again. You just sort of end it with your chip shot extra point. You can QB sneak it if you want. You can run down even more time. However you wanted to handle that. But that was a little bit scary, but it obviously worked out.
Let's go back to the phones. Lou wants to talk in D.C. What's up, Lou? How are you, pal?
I'm good. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, man.
Hey, win column yesterday, 500 through 4. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take it. First and foremost, I want to congratulate my man Danny for being a Hall of Famer.
Hey, thank you, buddy. Appreciate
you. Yellow Jackets.
There's a Hall of Famer.
He's working right next to you, man. As far as, you know, the game ball for me, I got to give it to Heinicke. 17, you know, you can't get enough of that guy. I mean, JD as well. So as far as not so, you know, the defensive coaching staff and Ron, man, I mean, you literally just came out and say, that's my kicker, like today. Come on, man. At some point in time, man, I mean, this guy will cost you. I mean, he almost did. I mean, he missed two extra points. So I'm
confused. Lou, here's what's amazing about that. And remember, I have been a Hopkins guy through and through, and I want the best for this dude. I think he's as good a human being as I've met in football. I really want him to thrive. Whether it's here or elsewhere, I want him to get back on track, have a lengthy career. But this is a production business, and he hasn't been producing.
Yeah.
And it's my job. I'm not saying anything other than he's got to make kicks, and he's not making. He would admit that.
Yeah, nobody's saying he's a bad person. This is right. Just not going well right now.
What I know is this, though. It must be really nice to have someone have your back the way Ron Rivera has had his. I'm not really sure why. Good for Dustin Hopkins, but I wonder what he has done to kind of ingratiate
himself.
He's
a made guy somehow, and I don't get it.
Normally, the kicker is the first guy that gets thrown under the bus. The idiot kicker, Peyton Manning said. Mm-hmm. Normally, for a coach, when your team is struggling, someone misses kicks, it's the easiest thing to do to just act like that's the problem, cut the kicker, bring someone else in. But Rivera, from the preseason on, has stood by him. And here's what you've got, just as the track record for this year. Remember, last year he struggled, ended up getting really hot. I think he made 14 of his final 15 to save his job.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking halfway through last year about his job security.
Oh, yeah.
Rivera was standing by him and eventually did kind of put him on notice, put him on a hot, warming seat in a press conference. But preseason was a huge struggle. They've won two games. Danny, in those two games, he missed the game-winning field goal and only got to kick another one because of a Giants penalty. Could have easily been a loss if not for something the Giants did, not anything Washington did.
Correct.
In this game, they're trailing in the final minute by the points that he has missed extra points on. Think about that.
Oh, I thought about it. I don't know what else has to happen. I mean, it's already too late. I mean, because you're at this point, the music game and musical chairs have stopped. The time to do this is the offseason during a player movement, free agency, and the like. It's the thing that's so exasperating about it is that Ron Rivera made a giant point about telling everybody about the culture of competition and how much competition mattered to him. He said it to us specifically about the quarterback spot, but in general, you've got to compete. Well, with the exception of a couple guys. Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't have to, obviously. But Dustin Hopkins doesn't have to, despite bad performance. Now, again, I'm with you. I like Dustin Hopkins. I think I'm befuddled as to why this is happening to him. I can't figure out why he can't make kicks with regularity and why I'm terrified when it's his time to put foot to ball. It's not a fun place to be. I have empathy for the guy. But at the same time, I don't have time. I don't have time for this. This is not rec league. This is not my 8-year-old son's flag football thing where they're all learning what a pass route is and they're learning what a zone defense is. This is the NFL where you get paid. Like, this is the biggest deal possible. He's not good and nothing is done about it. And yet, if I guarantee you, if a guard misses a block or a defensive tackle or a linebacker does something, you know, Ron Rivera, last year, multiple times during the season, at press conferences, went out of his way to make sure he let you know that he wasn't happy with linebacker play. But that's my thing about it is that's our guy. Oh, okay. I guess we shouldn't ask any more questions? It's so weird. That's what's so frustrating about it.
Taylor Heinicke was a hero yesterday in Atlanta, throwing the 3 touchdowns and almost 300 yards. So really cool story. He's back home. He's from the Atlanta area in Georgia. He had dozens and dozens. He speculated almost 100 people maybe.
Yeah.
Came to the game. He said he only bought 10 or so tickets. But his sister and her husband were there. He's lived on their house, on their couch in their house last year. Remember that story?
Absolutely.
He was sleeping on her couch because he was out of football, and they came to the game. He also had a bunch of kids that, when he was out of football, he was coaching and teaching. He basically was doing quarterback lessons and football lessons last year, and he had a bunch of those guys at the game to watch him. How great is that? That's like a story out of a movie. He's like, yeah, it must have been really cool for them to watch the guy that taught them teach a year ago how to throw a football, now starting in the NFL. So I hope they got some inspiration to think they could be there too. But he did a post-game interview where he said some of this in addition to his press conference. I saw this for the first time today, Danny. Have you seen him on the field with Laura Oakman yet?
This was great.
He is almost about to cry, and I swear to you, I was in my car when I listened to this, and I got emotional. I was like, damn, that's cool for him. Listen to this. This was Laura Oakman, Fox, yesterday, post-game interview on the field.
We have talked so much about your story. Last time you were in Atlanta, about 45 minutes from here, sleeping on your sister's couch, thinking this football dream was over. I talked to you about how important it was to have all your friends and family here who didn't give up on you when you were giving up on yourself. What does this mean to you right here doing this today?
Yeah, I'm trying not to get emotional, but my sister was able to make it today, and my brother-in-law, and they put up with a lot with me living at their house, and they're the ones that really pushed me. So for that to happen at the end there, for them to experience it, very, really special.
Wow. That's cool.
It's that, by the way, incredibly relatable to me. Anybody that's done stand-up comedy for more than like 10 minutes and like gone on the road and done that, you just sort of think about that. I couldn't help but think about the number of couches that I slept on, the number of, you know, can I bum a ride to 17 hours away to do 15 minutes to open up for some guy? Like that to me was like, that really moved me, man. It was Dusty Baker in my eyes.
Let's go to Brian in Atlanta. Hey, Brian, how are you?
What's up, Brian?
I'm fantastic. My voice is shot from the game yesterday, but it was awesome.
Were you in Atlanta, or are you just screaming in your living room?
I live in Atlanta. I was the guy that met you at the Caps parade wearing the Stephen Pete jersey. My kids still get a kick out of the
sick jersey,
podcast.
Too, by the way.
I saved it, and they just love it. Yeah. No, my dad flew down for the weekend, and we just had an unbelievable weekend. We were there at the stadium.
Can you tell me real quick? It seemed like there were thousands of WFT fans. Like at one point,
it was the exact opposite of FedEx Field.
Dude,
I mean,
it's crazy.
FedEx Field, when you have the opponents there, and it's always the Way fans. Or back in the day in the 90s when the Cap Center or Verizon Center always had the Flyer fans or always had the Ranger fans. This was all WFT. Burgundy and gold was all over. Again, my voice is shot. I was screaming hail to the football team after every touchdown. What do we do after every touchdown? Because I have no idea. I'm still singing it.
No one knows.
They haven't really done anything.
Have to wait till next year.
Obvious that I've known. We had Jason Wright on the show, team president, and he said, you guys will have to wait and see and watch and see. And I did, and they've kind of just played random songs. Like there hasn't been... In other words, if you ask me, what's the seventh inning song at Camden Yards? I know what it is. What's the seventh inning song at Nats Park? You know that it's Take On Me. I don't really know yet. If it's the same song, I haven't necessarily noticed. But fans do sing HTTR. They are doing that. And I think left to their own devices, they'll continue to do that until they're given a name.
It's so awkward. Like, no one knows what to do.
Something else to do. Did you notice, though, when it hit me was, because they didn't show many crowd shots that made it obvious, but there was a penalty. It might have even been the fumble, the McLaurin non-fumble, when they overturned
it. And there was a roar.
They said it stood, and it was like, why is everyone going crazy? Did they mishear him? And it was like, no, there's just more WFT fans than Falcons fans.
Yeah.
It was crazy. 800-636-1067 is the number. Terry McLaurin in 20 minutes. Let's turn our attention to defense next. We wanted more out of Sweat, who had a big sack, and Chase Young, who still does not have a sack on the season. How do we feel about how they played off the edges? You're listening to Grant and Danny.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon, now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Terry McLaurin will join us in 12 minutes and a few seconds here on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan, our weekly fireside chat with the best player on the Washington football team. Just two regular old touchdowns for Terry McLaurin. I want to ask him how he's feeling, by the way. He got hit. He got shaken up a couple different times. And my little Terry, he's tough, and he'll be joining us here in a few moments. Going to turn our attention to the defense now here for a few seconds. If I knew what was wrong, I would bill huge amounts per hour, and I would consult, and I would take all the money from the Washington football team, and I would fix it. I would just go do it right now. I'd go to Jack Del Rio's office. I'd use my key card. I'd gather all the guys together and say, this is what we have to do, this, and this. I can't understand how it's this bad. And everybody's got theories, right? I mean, there's, you know, hey, they're playing better quarterbacks. Okay. I don't know if Daniel Jones and Matt Ryan would certainly qualify with what they've been doing the last couple years, but fine, benefit that out there. Tape on them. Maybe they've been exposed a little bit. Okay, I guess. Still not to the tune of the yardage totals they're giving up, the third downs they're allowing, the point totals. They're 30th out of 32 through 4 weeks, roughly a quarter of the way through the season, or the old season, 16 games, now 17. They are among the bottom feeders in defense in the NFL. That's not anecdotal. Them's the facts. That's actually how it is. It now looks like a mirage. They only gave up 20 points to the Chargers. That's the Chargers letting their foot off the gas, having a couple things called back, a few fluky occurrences. It's 29. It's 43. It's 30. What are some of these good offenses that are coming down the pike going to do? What are the Chiefs and Packers going to do? What is Tampa Bay going to do, for goodness sakes? Records are going to be set. I don't know what the fix is. I do know that this specifically isn't working. I think the most galling part of it all is the distinct lack of pressure for weeks, for games, for quarters, for possessions at a time. I just sort of assumed, naively, that it would just be not necessarily, you know, again, I think of like when you, in the old school Madden games, when you would do punt rush, when you're playing your buddy on the old Sega Genesis, and it couldn't get blocked, and there's nothing you could do about it, right? There's no pass you could throw. There's no run you could do. And you just sort of cheated, and that was that. I think I kind of naively expected it to be like that. That's not realistic. But you know what it looks like, right? You know when there's more effect and more constant pressure on the quarterback. You know when you can't get started. You see it at times in the run game. You see these guys beating the hell out of a guard. You see penetration. You see defensive ends making their moves and getting into the backfield and stuffing guys TFL style. For some reason, when it comes to the drop-back pass game, you are just not seeing that kind of consistent pressure. And I don't know how you get, because at the end of the day, you could drop all sorts of blitzes and be the Pittsburgh Steelers and commit 5, 6, 7 guys to every rush and get your butts burned on the back end, which I wouldn't encourage right now with the way the secondary is playing. At the end of the day, where this defense goes, their bread will be butter, GP. How much that front four is able to affect quarterbacks. Right now, it's not happening with any kind of consistency, and I don't know what the fix is.
So forgive me getting back into the studio late here. Was, excuse me, working on something real quick, but one thing I wanted to say, and I don't know if you hit on this, they ran more games finally.
Yeah, and I love that. Yes, and I'm all for it.
So they moved Chase Young inside on a pass rush where he looped underneath of Deron Payne at one point and got home free rush.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yes, more.
You're allowed to do that. I watch all these other games where, what is Von Miller doing over top the center? And why is TJ Watt rushing over a guard? They did that, and it did work, and I want to see more of those things. Let's go to Wendell in Springfield on Grant and Danny. Wendell, how are you?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I'm good.
What's up, buddy?
Just on the defense, to be honest, and to quote EB, we were sold a bill of goods. It's not, is no way lived up to what it was advertised. And to your point earlier, Danny, to be real, if they're not going to be able to get home with just the four, they're going to have to get more creative, to Grant's point. And I don't know what necessarily is hindering the staff from getting more creative, but that's probably going to be the solution. So thanks for taking the call.
Thanks, buddy. I mean, there's push and pull there, right, Chiefs? You've got to do certain things, but you put weaker links at risk. If you're going to blitz an extra linebacker, that's another linebacker in coverage. That's Landon Collins in coverage. Or that's, you know, God forbid, Bubba McTyre or whatever the guy's name is, Torrey McTyre. You're going to put him on an island. There's consequences to all this. What they're built to do is rush with four and win with four. That's not happening. So you've got to have a balancing act. My point is, you're getting beat anyway. You may as well beat trying to have an effect on the offense.
That would be, in my opinion, though, you know, if they're able to just get four, that would be ideal. That's what Jack Del Rio wants, is to win with four, because, to your point, they're not good enough in the back seven. And that's probably the design, honestly. When you pay John Allen what you do, when you draft Payne where you did, when you have Chase Young as the number two overall pick, the way that this is set up, it's not that he shouldn't have to occasionally do something else, which he's trying to do, it seems like, but you don't want to have to. Your linebackers are not as good as your defensive front. Your DBs are not as good as them. You don't want to have to help the line get home with those other tiers, as you were talking about. It's Grant and Danny on a Victory Monday. We are presented by Chiniga Mios. Visit MIOScareers.com to view open positions and apply today. Terry McLaurin, the wide receiver who saved the season yesterday, will join us next live right here on Grant and Danny. Spread the word. Send a text to a buddy. Tell him to turn on the fan to hear from the best player on the team next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.